we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a product listing from the Amazon website read by Charlotte Green.
The Holy Bible, English Standard Version, with cross-references.
And our thanks to Ivan Griffin for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Lloyd Langford. And opposite them on my left, Justin Edwards and Susan Kalman. Jeremy, listen to this.
My youth. I had the figure of a young girl in those days.
Jeremy, who hadn't budgeted for a defeat?
This would be Her Majesty's government, still led by a thread by David Cameron, and his backbenchers joined with Labour to humiliate him in the run-up to his negotiations with Europe. But they said that by voting for a cut in the EU budget, that they were giving him a mandate, which is true in the sense that a wedgie provides much-needed perennial support. So he's going to go there to Europe to argue with Merkel and say, I've got a mandate. And she says, oh, your backbenchers think you are a fool, David. You have been humiliated. I can see your pants. That's how she talks. That's how she talks. She's German. And they're all going to laugh and mock at him, and he'll cry and come away and wish he'd never left Cheltenham Ladies' College.
Why are we sending an extremely rich old Etonian to haggle on our behalf? Do you not think we should have a Cockney market trader to get in there? That'd be much
better. Yeah, because he's never had to work for anything in his life. He's never had to negotiate. Oh, I'll just have the most expensive one. Could you wrap it and bring it to my house? Well, no, you can't literally wrap a house and bring it to my house, but could you wrap me and bring me to the house? One of his backbenchers actually said about the rebellion, he said that we can't be giving all this money to Europe when there are people worrying about putting shoes on their children's feet. And I thought, oh, like you care about that. And then I thought, well, actually, he probably owns a huge shoe empire. No, I mean, really, him and Osborne should just pay the whole EU budget out of their trust funds. And he's complaining that Labour were guilty of transparent opportunism, which is true, but in the same way that if you saw Cameron sort of drunk on the floor at a party, you'd pull his trousers and pants down and photograph him. Yes, it would be cynical opportunism, but sort of irresistible in a way.
Well, Tony Blair was very cross. He warned the Labour Party not to play short-term politics over the issue. Although, to be fair to Ed Miliband, he'll be gone in a couple of years, do you not think? Do not see him in a couple of years as a maths teacher in Milton Keynes. But it's hard to know where you are with the politics, because effectively Ed Miliband was asking his MPs to vote to the right of the Conservative Party. So you wonder what the next coalition's going to be. It's going to be Labour and the BNP. I mean, it depends where you are, really.
Well, if it's the two biggest parties in Parliament, it'd be Labour and the Tories, wouldn't it? The Liberals can be the little weird far-left party in the background.
I quite like the idea of the Liberals going back to just wearing sandals and going, it's nothing to do with us. I think that's endearing.
As opposed to wearing suits and saying it's nothing to do with us.
Yeah, that's Lloyd, I don't know what your politics are at all. Are you interested in these kind of things?
Yeah, I was reading up about how we essentially pay in more to the European Union than we get back. So it's sort of like a lottery syndicate. And I think Greece is a bloke who never remembers to bring along his wallet.
But the debate's going to be on the budget, it's going to be in Brussels. Why don't they just save money and do the whole thing on Skype instead of flying in an Angela?
Copy each other into emails, but you can get into trouble doing that, can't you? You click on reply all. You say things like, I've never fancied Angela Merkel.
No one would say that, would Jeremy? She's a very attractive older lady. Yeah. She is. She's got that certain something about her, that older lady, I'll tell you what to do and it'll probably hurt, but I'll do it anyway. I've said too much.
Yeah.
I've said too much.
I feel like Susan, we're straying into territory that's possibly not political.
Susan looks not only like the leader of the Scottish Tories, but also leader of the Scottish National Party, Nicola Sturgeon. You look like both of them.
She's morphing.
How do you do that?
Well, it's just
the woman of three faces.
Yes, or the women of three faces. Neither of them I will want. no, it's true. After I said on the news quiz a few weeks ago that I looked like Ruth Davidson, the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party, and I wish I hadn't, because I was walking down the street in Glasgow and people have taken to shouting, "Oh, Ruth!" at me. Genuinely. And I have to go, "Huh, it's not me." And they go, "Tory." And when you're walking through Glasgow, it's really not the best thing. Because if people don't listen to the news quiz, they wonder why people are shouting "Tory, Tory" at you as you're sprinting as fast as you can to the pub.
Many people have commented on my resemblance to Sir Henry Campbell Bannerman. I was just testing the audience.
Is there a lot of work on the lucrative lookalike circuit for...
Yeah.
Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be an early 20th century politician. That's what they should have done on Stars in Their Eyes, shouldn't they? Should have been something like Stars in the Attlee administration. Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Stafford Cripps.
Did you see that waxworks that was in the news where you couldn't tell who anybody was because they'd all slightly melted and... Hitler had a tremendous tan.
David Cameron would look the same if he were slightly melted.
David Cameron was left embarrassed just before the negotiations on the EU budget after Labour MPs joined Tory rebels to pass an amendment calling for Britain's contribution to be cut. It's Cameron's biggest defeat in the Commons since old Etonians lost to old Harrovians in a game of corridor cricket. David Cameron denied the division over Europe signalled a return to the major years, but has asked security to look out for Edwina Curry sneaking into number 10 just in case. 2 points to Jeremy. Lloyd, why might my namesake have blown democracy off course?
This is Hurricane Sandy and its effect on the US presidential race. It's not really a great subject for comedy. I'll try. I was amused by the fact that they evacuated everyone from Atlantic City. I was thinking they clearly weren't that interested in gambling.
That's a fair point, actually. Yes. It would have been...
Never mind red or black, let's raise the stakes somewhat. Do you think this casino will still be here tomorrow?
If I saw that wind coming towards me, I think I'd have evacuated already.
I liked all the sort of weather discussion about this. It was, technically speaking, a tropical cyclone, which coincidentally is my Mexican wrestling name. Do you know, the storm could cost up to $50 billion, which coincidentally is Mitt Romney's annual income before tax. And indeed, after tax.
Romney has... Well, he's kind of blown it, because people kind of think, well, we should stick with the president, because all he has to do now is carry on being presidential. Because Romney's doing weird things, like asking people to send groceries. And the Red Cross is saying, please don't send groceries. It's not the harvest festival. Do you remember when we were kids and they, because it was the harvest, we had to bring in tins of pilchards for the old people, and then they'd all be taken to the old people's home, and of course they couldn't open them because they didn't have the easy open tins in those days. You had to have one of those little machetes that old people can't use because they've got arthritis. And it's a bit like that with Mitt Romney. It's like a terrible wind has devastated people's houses and they've got no power and there's lots of flooding. Send some packs of Cheetos.
He's sending them tinned fish and they have actual live fish in their houses.
But Romney went out of his way not to criticise Obama, although I have to say he couldn't resist pointing out that the hurricane wasn't born in the United States. That was no.
Romney says, he just has a face that can't be sincere. Yeah. It's like he always smiles. He always has this slightly odd smile. So even when he's saying, please give generously, it's a really, really tragic thing. It's like a sinister face that he has, whereas Obama's brilliant and looking concerned. I think it's the movable eyebrow situation. I don't know if Romney's had Botox, but nothing moves above the eyebrows. Whereas Obama, he's very fluid. He's up and down. He's like a cartoon that's drawn on. So Obama always looks really quite sincere. The main thing about Hurricane Sandy, though, I have to say, is I've never seen so many Sandy Toksvig jokes in my entire life. The blessing was when the American preacher then blamed it on gay people wanting to get married. Did you see that one? It was all tied in conveniently, because I don't know if you know, but you are one. And it was a go.
I must tell my wife.
It was a godsend. Essentially, they were making you into an X-Men superhero, Storm. Essentially, that's an action figure I would buy for Christmas.
The only headline, well, not the only headline I saw about it, but one that caught my eye, and I was half paying attention because I was probably watching something else, where it said, Sandy Bears Down on Coast. And I thought, well, that's nice. Maybe it's a picnic. I'll take the children along.
At the moment, they have a very specific system of naming hurricanes. And I think it would be more useful to name weather fronts after people we're aware of, so we can kind of gauge...
Hurricane Savile?
Yeah, well, you would know that Hurricane Savile happened maybe 40 years after it had struck. So, for example, I was thinking maybe Hurricane Boris. So it's a lot of blustering, but pretty much everything remains the same.
Hurricane Sandy, or Superstorm Sandy, hit the eastern seaboard this week, causing devastation. Those poor Americans first met now this. Sandy has caused tens of billions of dollars of damage. Sounds like one of my school reports. After devastating New York, the hurricane cheered up Americans everywhere by advancing on Canada. 2 points to Lloyd. Justin, who isn't feeling the benefit of being in the middle?
This will be the super squeeze middle classes and the removal or the stopping for certain people of child benefit. The letters go out today. And if you earn over £50,000, you'll have your child benefit stopped. You could both earn just under £50,000 and you'd be fine. But if one of you earned £50,001 and the other one didn't earn anything, you'd have it stopped. It's unnecessarily complicated. If you've fannied around enough with your money, and if then you could claim the £21 a week that you get. It just seems to be something the coalition policies dictates, that sort of poor people go, oh, you know, I can't be bothered, I've got time to mess around with this. Then the slightly richer people have slightly better accountants. Great, I'm going to find a way to do this now. It just becomes sort of a challenge. And the only people making money are the accountants, who will then be ineligible for child benefit themselves. And then have to sort of go back and start trying to find another loophole or a way of doing it. It does seem...
I think you've just demonstrated why people don't get naked during Moneybox Live.
Yeah. I think that I do, Jeremy.
How many kids have you got?
I've got two.
Too young to work?
I don't know. I mean, I've tried getting them to do things, like sort of fetch that nappy. But again, that's... occasionally they do, but not enough to really bring in the rent, no.
Last time I had the chimney swept, it cost £50. I mean, a couple of chimneys a day, you'd be laughing.
When do they stop giving child benefit?
When you're 18.
I mean, you're not a child, that's the clue.
But... my daughter's 22 and they never stop costing you money, do they? Dad, I've burnt down someone's house. Can you help? Yes, it's fine. Don't worry. So long as you're okay. That becomes the response to every phone call. Once your child is sort of over 16, every phone call is you saying, don't worry, so long as you're okay, I will pay off the witnesses. It will be fine. Don't worry, she was old anyway. It's fine.
I like all the language. I like them talking about the middle classes being up in arms. And you think, ooh, very nice arms they are from John Lewis. they don't actually stop paying you the benefit. You get the benefit still. They just claw it back through the tax system. So you should do what I did. I've had my children registered as an offshore company. That's the best way forward.
I think I should... I'm just putting this out there. I think I should get rewards for not having children. I think I'm the forgotten victim all of this. I should be carried on a golden chariot throughout the streets and everyone goes, thank you for not having children. And I go, you're very welcome.
That's certainly, you know, certainly that's certainly an option. In terms of... But if it was a genuine child benefit, to be honest with you, a real child benefit to me would be if someone came around my house and took all the Lego out of my shoes. Because that is that kind of thing. Or came and said, how do you get banana off a wall when it's sort of baked on? That would be worth, you know, a lot more.
I agree with Susan. I think there should be
She should be carried around.
With my cats in front pulling the chariot.
Don't encourage her, please.
And a crown made out of daisies.
All I can say is if you do go through Glasgow in that kind of get-up being pulled along by cats, people will be going, oh, I hope she doesn't breed. So in a way, your wish will have come true.
There should be some sort of bursary that gets paid into, and then, for instance, when childless people like Susan and I have to get on a long-haul flight and there's screaming children, they make an announcement at the start of the flight and say, well, this is the childless benefit. There are screaming and shouting kids on here, but everyone gets, a bottle of wine or something. Great.
Do you know, I once did a trip around the United States which involved taking about 20 of those short-haul flights. And after 18 of these flights, as I was checking in, I said, I wonder if you could put me next to a child that is not feeling terribly well, is going to vomit and could kick me. And the woman said, I don't know if we can be that specific. I said, well, you've managed it on the other 18.
That's the thing, the reasons are so ridiculous. I was sat next to a screaming baby on a plane and the mum said to me, oh, you'll have to excuse him, he can't handle the pressure. And I was like, how do you think the pilot feels?
This week, HMRC has sent out letters to 1 million middle-class families outlining the changes to their child benefit. The letters will explain in detail the nature of the cuts, along with a brief summary from George Osborne, which will read, you should have used a condom. At 2 points to Justin. Susan, who is getting ready to say goodbye, goodbye to its London home?
The Metropolitan Police,
yes,
are, due to the requirement to cut about £500 million from their budget over the next 2 years, are selling Scotland Yard. Oh, I know. If you don't know what Scotland Yard is, it's the one with the turny-wurny sign. The turny-wurny sign as opposed to the static sign.
If you understood physics, you'd know that that sign is completely stationary, but the universe is revolving around it.
Don't say that to me, because if I ever have a drink, I will watch that for hours. A number of things struck me about this story. The first one was, I think it was the deputy commissioner said that they can't afford the luxury of having a headquarters in the middle of London. Now, I'm not an expert, but they're the Metropolitan Police. Mm. Now, a luxury at work is a nail bar. Right? A luxury is not having a physical presence within the heart of the city that you represent. The second thing is, they're closing lots of other police stations as well. It's not just Scotland Yard that they're selling. But they've said it's okay because for every police station they close, they're going to open 3 access points sited in supermarkets. Because as we all know, criminals tend to operate within the opening hours of Tesco.
But no. If you get robbed, you do not want your first port of call to be a bobby who is also manning the wet fish counter.
No. They used to have those special phone boxes you could go in, but then they all went to the future, didn't they?
No, that's true. Well, the Deputy Commissioner, I quite like this, he said they are going to close all these police stations, but there's going to be 25,000 more policemen on the beat. I thought that's because they've got nowhere to go.
So this is New Scotland Yard, which, of course, originally was situated somewhere on the back of Whitehall, wasn't it? It was in genuine Scotland, yeah, Yard, and they moved it down to Victoria, so we'll call it New Scotland Yard. So if they move it again,
yeah,
what do they call it? The New Scotland Yard or the original Scotland Yard?
One Nation Scotland
One
Yard.
One Nation Scotland Yard.
Quick question for an extra point. What kind of supplements has the Met been taking to balance the books?
Oh, they've had sponsorship from quite sort of extraordinary places.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember, there must be a good example. Some of these places are quite extraordinary that they've received. Received their.
Well, there were 3 companies that provided cars, BMW, yeah, Land Rover and Nestle. One of those doesn't belong with the other two. Nestle providing cars.
A chocolate car.
Yeah, I suppose it's good on a stakeout. You can take a bite out of the steering wheel. I don't know how it works. The Metropolitan Police are planning to sell New Scotland Yard to help save £500 million over the next 2.5 years. New Scotland Yard is famous for its revolving triangular sign and for being a subsidiary of News International. The force is looking to sell off a third of its estate, but will keep the timeshare apartment on the Costa del Sol. So, at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Lloyd have got 4 points, but in the lead are Justin and Susan with 5. We start round two with a headline from the York Press.
Fight breaks out at Selby Boxing Fundraiser.
And our thanks to Cameron Woods for sending us that. Jeremy, why should the rich be wary of Greeks bearing lists?
oh, I can't remember his name. Costas, it's got two V's.
Vaxavanis.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, Colin Vuvuzela. Yeah, he's a journalist in Greece. And Greece is number 70 in the list of the freest presses. It's after Mozambique. I don't know why Mozambique is sort of a benchmark of not having a free press, but it apparently is. But is being tried for publishing a list of wealthy Greeks who've got offshore bank accounts in Switzerland. He's being done for breaching their privacy. And basically, he's pointing out that they're avoiding tax by, you know, having money offshore. And two other people are being done for mildly criticising somebody in the government. Yeah. And Greece is all turning into Greece under the colonels again, which many of you are too young to remember. But there was a time when Greeks had respect and they were run by the army.
Greece, the country, now has a lower GDP than Greece, the musical. Slightly worrying.
There's no other reason for having a Swiss bank account, though,
yeah,
is
what
there?
What are you doing? You're saving up for chocolate and clocks, or what's the... It's useful to have a few Swiss francs.
Yeah, if you happen to be on holiday in Switzerland, it's good to have a bank account there, isn't it?
But why would you go on holiday to Switzerland? It's like the expanded Milton Keynes. The dullest place in the world.
I worked in Switzerland for a while.
Were you a chalet girl?
No. The world's most disappointing chalet girl. I'd like my money back, please.
It's the only two jobs, chalet girl or fondue bitch, isn't it?
I worked at the United Nations on the Charter for Indigenous Peoples. Human Genome Project.
Did they pay you in Nazi gold?
So I was working on international human rights law.
Did you like it?
Well, it's very clean.
Yeah.
And the newspaper thingamabob, they didn't lock it. They trusted you to put the money in, which I thought was very odd. I thought it was broken the first time I went up to it and thought, I'll just take a free paper. Then I realised that's not what you do in Switzerland, you pay. And when you got on the trams, they go, hiya. And you're like, shall I pay? And they go, oh, you're meant to pay outside. And I go, it was like they were the stupidest people in the world. Or the nicest. But it was really expensive. A rum and coke in 1996 was £7.50. I know! To a nightclub and discotheque with some of the other guys that worked at the UN, you know, because we were like that. And I said, oh, I'll get around. They went, I'm all right then. And I didn't have enough money in my bank account to pay for the round. And I left. I just left.
Oh, you did? I didn't get the drinks.
I went.
Just went for the drinks and then never returned?
Yes, I just never came back.
Do you think they're still waiting? Greek police have arrested investigative journalist Costas Vaxavanis after he published a list of 2,059 high-earning Greeks avoiding tax via Swiss bank accounts. The list was reported in his magazine Hot Doc, Greece's top-rated publication for political scandal and topless GPs. Sounds like it, doesn't it? It was leaked by an HSBC employee who wished to remain anonymous for fear that a social conscience would ruin his career prospects. 2 points to Jeremy. Lloyd, have a listen to this. Lloyd, why are there Chinese whispers about children?
There has been a think tank in China that has recommended the state drop its one-child policy. I think a Chinese think tank is the best type of Chinese tank. Because they've only been having allowing one child per family in the majority of cases. They have something at the moment which is called the 4-2-1 problem, which means one child has two parents and four grandparents to look after. And that shouldn't be confused with the 3-2-1 problem, which is how come there was a successful game show on British television for 10 years where the majority of contestants walked away with a bin.
My news agent has a one-child policy, but I think that's more to do with shoplifting.
I sort of wish that someone had stopped us having a second child, to be honest with you. It's exhausting. Because you have one sugar, because they're very close together, and yeah. you have one child. Well, it's like having a nice bottle of wine, isn't it? And you go, oh, isn't this nice? Oh, we've jumped. And then you get to the end of it, you go, oh, I should open another one. And then almost just after you open it, you go, oh, dear, we shouldn't have opened this one. Oh, I've got a headache now. Oh, I suppose we've opened it now. Well, I can't put it back. It's, you know. It's not the strongest analogy for having children.
Can I just say, because you've got the two, I've got three. Don't have three. Okay, just stop at the two. Because two, when you're crossing the road, you've got one on each hand. Three, there's one clinging to the hairs on your legs. It's just very...
How close together are your two?
There's just over a year between them.
So is one just a lazy twin, do you think?
Pretty much, yeah. Just couldn't quite be bothered to come out. Oh, I'll hang around in here for a bit. Look at them, they're just drinking wine.
The Chinese government has been urged to end its one-child policy by a government think tank concerned about imbalances in the population. Any change to the policy wouldn't be phased in until 2020, as it'll take that long for China's bunk bed industry to recover. China's economic growth recently slowed to 7%. What kind of a shambles are they running over there? 2 points to Lloyd. Justin, who thinks politics is a degree too complicated?
This is part of a poll. Office of National Statistics poll, where they phone people up and go, how strongly or weakly do you disagree with the following percentage of ideas? One of those things. And it's one in three university graduates say they don't understand politics or consider it above their heads. But it's been commissioned by David Cameron's wants to find out about the British well-being, or find about, you know, how he is regarded. He could just Google his name. Yeah. He's got a lot of money.
Trying to explain it to them. Well, the Prime Minister is that fantastically posh, independently wealthy one. No, not that one. No, not that one either. No, the one with the red face. No, not that one.
It's not surprising that people say, younger people now say, politics all goes over my head, but it's because there's nothing tangible to get hold of. When I did a degree in modern history and politics between 1979 and 1982, things were explained to us, like the difference between libertarian socialism and anarcho-syndicalism, which is quite interesting, you know, and you sort of learn about political philosophers like Bakunin, and you learn about Bolshevism, and you learn about free market ideas, and you learn about all these things. And today, it's just indistinguishable young men who would otherwise have been working in marketing arguing about how much misery to put the poor through.
It's a sort of an odd thing, isn't it? You could have a physics graduate who could calculate, I don't know, what velocity Michael Gove would reach if you pushed him off Big Ben, but... crucially, couldn't tell you why it's a good idea. According to a report on governance compiled by the thrilling Office of National Statistics, 36% of graduates said they found politics too complicated just before they were fast-tracked to a job at the Home Office. 24% of people with GCSEs said they were interested in the democratic process. This dropped to 5% when they were told that voting on Strictly Come Dancing doesn't count. 2 points to Justin. Susan, which Olympic banshee banged the drum for Britain?
This is a wonderful story. Cast your minds back to a time when we were all happy and we all got along with each other and London was a friendly and beautiful place, the Olympics. Now, you may think we got the Olympics because of a fantastic bid and years of work. That's not the reason we got the Olympics. Lord Coe has revealed why we got the Olympics. And the unlikely hero, apparently, was Sherry Blair. Now, picture the scene. It's a grand ballroom. There's delegations from all over the world of people wanting the Olympics. Jacques Chirac is in one corner. He's made a flippant comment about British cooking. He said, you can't trust those people because they cook appallingly. Now, at that point, the double doors swing open. I don't know if that happened. That's just what happened in my head. The double doors swing open. Sherry Blair walks in looking like Cruella de Vil. I don't know if that happened. I'm just making this up. Sherry Blair marches in. Tony's behind her. He's pretending he can't see what she's doing, because that's what he does. He just goes, la, 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 la. Sherry goes over to Jacques Chirac, like a banshee, Lord, like a banshee. Now, strangely, Jacques Chirac, president of France, who I imagine has had some difficulties in his life, who's dealt with some international problems, apparently, was so cowed by Sherry Blair's vicious verbal attack regarding the cuisine of this country that he left. And he didn't speak to anyone important, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we got the Olympics.
I'm quite liking it, because according to to Lord Coe's book, Cherie Blair scared Chirac away, and I thought maybe she was just trying to smile warmly at him.
I mean, we really did show them, though, didn't we, that our cuisine is right up there, because when we did get the Olympics, we awarded the catering contracts to some of the finest cuisiniers of our country.
I was reading about this on the Daily Telegraph website, and someone in the comment section underneath posted, "I knew that Blair woman had to be good for something. We should send her to the Afghan mountains to help flush the Taliban out."
Apparently she went at Chirac like an exocet, as the other... Forget Trident, strap her to a submarine. What a fantastic idea. It's a win-win.
It wouldn't be worse if she was nice to you, wouldn't it? I mean, it's one thing if she came and said, "Oi, you, Froggy, you insulted our food, eh? You with your croissants and your foie gras. What's wrong? What's wrong with a fish paste sandwich, eh?" That's not scary. If she came up to you and said, "I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you," you'd need to have a bag fitted straight away, wouldn't you?
Tonight, I was in the green room at the Hay Literary Festival, and there was lots of people in there, and everybody was chatting and having a laugh, and Cherie Blair arrived with an assistant, and almost with one voice, everybody in the room went, "Do you know, I must go. I must head off now."
My wife insulted a Frenchman at a dinner party once, but no, we had to leave, and I didn't get pudding, so it doesn't always work.
Which Frenchman was it that she insulted?
Oh, I don't know. It was a friend of a friend who worked in marketing. Marketing.
What did she say to him?
Oh, I can't remember. Actually, in fairness, it was me. I made some remark about how they poo in the shower and poke it down with their toes, which I saw. Which I still think they might. Yeah, but I had to leave.
I'm just trying to remember. Weren't banshees folklore women who foretold death? Is that not an incorrect use of
it? It was incorrect. I'm not suggesting Lord Coe doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not.
He's quite scary. Can I just say, I, at the very beginning of the Olympic bid, I did an event for them. I'd never met him before, and he came up to me and he said, "I know where you went to school." Okay. I'm going now, and you can run faster than me, so just give me a head start, all right?
I do think the nicest part of that story was the fact that Tony Blair, this was happening in the corner. It's like if you've got a friend who always kicks off, and everyone's just so used to it that you just keep on chatting. You know, and you're like, "Oh, there's, you know, someone challenging, oh, there's Susan challenging some tough fight." And you all just carry on. It sounds like this happens a lot because he just went, "Oh, there's Cherie, just having a word with Jacques." And just let it all happen.
Well, Coe said that Tony Blair turned to him and said, "The thing about my wife is that when she says something, she really means it." And you think, yes, Tony, it's called honesty. You may not be familiar with it. According to Sebastian Coe, Cherie Blair attacking Jacques Chirac for his scathing comments about British and Finnish cuisine helped London to win its Olympic bid in 2005. According to Lord Coe, she was at him like a banshee and he couldn't get out of the building fast enough. How unlike the French to retreat when they feel threatened. And it matters, Chirac then left after speaking to no one of any importance. Oh, I didn't realise Prince Charles had been there. At the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and Lloyd have got 8 points, but Justin and Susan remain in the lead with 9. We start round three with a story from the West Australian.
A woman stole a vibrator from a Northbridge sex shop last night. The thief was described by police as a slim Caucasian woman, aged about 35 to 40, who was last seen heading down the street with a smile on her face.
And our thanks to Peter Schmidt for sending us that. Jeremy, why might I need a lie down before I reveal the scores?
I don't know. You probably know, do you, Cindy?
I honestly, yes. Okay, I'm trying to hide it from you, but I do know the answer. Does anybody else do?
Do you know Lloyd?
Why might I need a light?
It's the maths thing.
It's to do with mathematics, yes.
Oh yeah, there was...
Causing stress and pain.
Mm. I think that side has probably got the point here.
It's the thought of mathematics gives you physical pain.
Can cause physical pain. Did you know this?
Where?
In your physical body. Yeah. No, we can get a headache. And for example, the other night I was trying to work out the cost of, I think it was 5 gin and tonics and a bottle of wine and a shot of whiskey, and I woke up with a headache. So explain how that. So I think it's fundamentally your head that hurts.
If maths is causing you physical pain, then you might be holding the protractor the wrong way.
What he says, it's more the stress of if you're in a restaurant and you're trying to work out the tip in front of lots of people, it's the stress of not being able to work out the maths. Other stressful situations can cause the same thing. The most stressful thing I find, two things, multi-storey car parks, parking in them, can't do it, freaks me out. Secondly,
when what do you do when you just abandon the car at the foot of it?
I just don't go in them. I can't do it. The cars are too close together. I can't get my car in the space.
Where are you feeling this pain now?
I really hate them.
Be strong.
I'm sorry, our time is up. The thing with maths is that presumably there. I mean, I can't bear anything to do with numbers and adding up and those things, and would get a headache or a back pain probably. But there's swings and roundabouts, because people who don't get stressed about maths have appalling personal hygiene. So they have their own cross to bear, don't they?
Mm. I get confused by maths. I know that the six of us sitting here, three girls and three boys, but four of us are wearing ladies' underwear. And I just find it odd. A study from the University of Chicago has shown that high levels of anxiety about maths can actually trigger physical pain. Participants' brains were scanned just before a maths test. They were either incredibly anxious, fairly calm, or Carol Vorderman. Maths anxiety produces high levels of activity in the posterior insula, a region linked to physical and emotional discomfort. I thought I had that. Turned out I was sitting on my phone. So 1 point to Justin and Susan.
Was it set to vibrate?
Always. Lloyd, whose body of work is medical science indebted to?
I know this one.
Oh, right, go on then.
And we're on the same team, so can I pass it over to Jeremy?
It's Body Snatchers.
It is. Do you read about the Body Snatchers?
Oh, no. Burke and Hare.
Yes, exactly, yes. I give you 2 points for that, yes. For mentioning Burke and Hare, very good. What about them?
Well, they are now being celebrated as heroes because medical science would not be anywhere were it not for the fact that grave robbers dug up stiffs and took them to medical schools, because otherwise people wouldn't know how to do operations. You just have to kind of guess. Or you'd think, oh, kidney, I think I'll go through the nose. But basically, Burke and Hare did a public service by murdering people.
Well, apparently Burke and Hare would invite people over to their house, get them drunk, and then kill them, which today gets you very low scores on Come Down With Me. But
so they were killers. They were essentially serial killers. And they're celebrated. There was a John Landis film, comedy film, about these two guys that killed lots of people. And do you know what the memorial is to Burke and Hare in Edinburgh, where they committed these crimes? Do you know how they are celebrated? There is a strip club named after them. It's bizarre.
I love that inappropriate naming. The best bar that I ever went to was in Toronto, and it was called the Betty Ford Centre. And I just... Fantastic. Body Snatchers had a greater influence on medical science than any advances made during the First World War, according to scientists at Cambridge University. Grave robbing was a way of earning money by taking something long dead and selling it for profit, a technique recently employed by George Lucas. It is amazing, actually, to think of the huge advances in anatomy which have taken place over the last 200 years, and yet we have a health secretary who doesn't know his arse from his elbow. 2 points to Jeremy and Lloyd. Susan, which holy endorsement has left the film world shaken and stirred?
James Bond, a character known for the ladies. He likes the ladies. He likes having special time with the ladies. He said in Casino Royale he prefers special time with married ladies. So you would not expect the most ringing endorsement of Skyfall, the new James Bond film, to come from the Vatican's weekly newspaper. Weekly Pope. It's not what it's called. Italian name, can't pronounce it.
Lo Sovettore Romano.
That, that's what I meant, devoted 5 articles to how amazing Skyfall was and how James Bond was absolutely fantastic and how it was the best film ever. And the reason why it's slightly odd is, as I say, James Bond, no, I mean, he tortures people, he punches them in the face, he sleeps around, he does everything that I thought, from my limited knowledge of what the Pope was for, was not bad.
In fairness to the Vatican, you never see 007 use a condom, do you?
The Vatican's daily newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano.
Pope Weekly.
Thank you very much.
That the one with anchovies and...
Yeah. Just a tiny bit of chilli. Has given the thumbs up to the latest Bond films. It said Skyfall is the best Bond film ever, even better than The Man with the Golden Pope, The Pope Who Loved Me, or Octopopey. Pope Benedict XVI has been Pope since 2005, when he took over from Pierce Brosnan. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by a listener in Carlisle called Jan? J-E-A-N-N-E.
I don't care.
Jan Taylor. And it's for Fireworks Night Do. The Houghton Community Bonfire, Monday the 5th of November. It says food, games, activities for all ages, live music. Please wear suitable warm clothing and bring a torch. This is a non-smoking event.
Mr. Edwards.
This has been sent in by Mr. Doug MacArthur of Gwynedd in North Wales, from the North Wales Pioneer, the for sale section. Very heavy concrete and steel garden roller. Indestructible, but requires a new handle.
Mrs. Kelman.
This is from sent in by Hilary Hall, and it's from the Saturday Times magazine. It's an article about sex addiction. Philip Hodson, sex therapist, states, if you look at a distribution curve of libido, some people prefer less sex and some are at it all the time. Most of us will come in the middle.
Mr. Langford.
This is from Jay Lee, and it's an ad from the Oxford Freegal. Does anyone have a wheelchair, self-propelled or pushed by someone that they no longer need?
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Lloyd have got 10 points, but this week's outright winners are Justin and Susan with 14. Before we leave you, here is a promotional email from a holiday cottage company sent in by John Shepherd.
The pump house in Cumbria sleeps too. Bring in the new year with a bang.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Jeremy Hardy, Lloyd Langford, Justin Edwards and Susan Kalman. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Nick Vincent, Jack Bernhardt and Tom Neenan. The producer was Alexandra Smith.